Welcome to the Max Living Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross. On this podcast, we have conversations about health. We talk about what it is, where it comes from, and really how you can achieve it for yourself and your entire family.
Hey, I hope you really enjoy this episode on the Max Living Podcast.
Welcome back to the show. I am Dr. Tracy Gross. I am one of your co-hosts, and I am here with Dr. Nick Wilson. I am really excited about this episode. I think that you are going to be too, because what we're talking about today is extremely relevant. We have been hearing a lot of patients come into our clinic and they're asking really good questions. They're asking about how they can enhance their immune function. If they do contract COVID-19, things that they can do that will help their body recover faster. And so Dr. Wilson has put a lot of work into this. He's done research, dove into the science, and he's going to talk about those specific protocols that you can do to help enhance your immune function.
Yeah, that's right. And thank you for that. So this is coming out of a place of, I'm getting a lot of text messages from friends and family and people who have been infected, and they're asking, what do I do? It's lingering longer than what they expected. And they're asking, hey, what can I do to help myself? How can I recover faster? Those who are not feeling great. And regardless of, you know, what they've done in the past, some vaccinated, some unvaccinated, both struggling the same. And they're asking, hey, is there anything I can take to help myself recover faster? And I want to go through what you can take to recover faster, but I also want to remind all of us that if we're currently depressing our immune system by that which what we're doing day in and day out, by what we're consuming, then we're only working against ourselves and asking questions, what can I take? Sometimes the first step is to stop doing. And what I mean by that is obviously when you consume a nutrient that causes your immune system to become depressed, you got to stop doing that first and foremost. And that is sugar, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue to beat this drum because I feel like people skip this step. And if you skip this step, you're only hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you recall that, that there's this whole concept of glycation. And when you consume sugar, it causes this glycation process to happen within your body, and these harmful compounds that are known as advanced glycation end products, AGE, they're produced. And when those are produced, those hinder your immune system, and that actually triggers disease more so than just COVID-19. We're talking disease all across the board when it comes to cardiovascular disease, when it comes to cancer. So we don't want AGEs. We don't want sugar because it produces AGEs. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about boosting your immune system or enhancing your immune system or allowing your immune system to function at its best, we've got to start there. So step one, and we've done whole episodes on that.
Yeah.
And you can go back and listen. You can get on Dr. Wilson, dr-wilson.com. You can listen to old podcast episodes to learn more about what you can do as far as lifestyle to help your immune system and prevent sickness and disease.
Yeah. Okay. Identifying areas of sugar that maybe we didn't know before, and then eliminating those. We have a lot of episodes on that.
Because that's when glycation is when the sugar molecule sticks to a protein molecule, and that inhibits the protein's molecule ability to do what it's supposed to do. So that was for the science brain. Mm-hmm. Okay. So some people need to hear that.
Yes. What can I do practically? How does sugar affect me in that way?
No, obviously this is general advice. And depending on your experience with COVID-19 or lack thereof, you may feel scared or concerned about the virus, depending on what you watch as well. And that's okay. Depending on your health status, your body may either be at the starting point of a hard fight, or you may simply have the common cold symptoms and then you move on with life. Either way, what we're going to talk about is more general information that you need to get your health back, that's your journey back to health. And again, this is more general advice. It's not intended to replace that doctor-patient relationship. So just to, I guess, put that disclaimer out there. So I want to start with what can you do in general to, you know, let's say boost your immune system, and what's been shown to be effective with COVID. And I understand right now that there is this model of one size fits all medicine. I do understand that this seems to be only one ideology that can prevent or help to reduce the transmission of COVID. And if that's one's perspective, that's fine. but I want maybe someone to hear this from the lens of, okay, what else can I do that can help me? Maybe not to replace that one thing that we can't say out loud anymore, but what can I also do? Or what can I do to help my immune system? And there's a study out of Science Daily that found that 80% of COVID-19 patients had low levels of vitamin D. 80%. So what is that telling you? That is telling you that vitamin D is important. I mean, we knew that vitamin D, when exposed to sunlight, your liver helps to produce vitamin D. Vitamin D plays a critical role in the immune system. Low amounts of vitamin D have been shown to be correlated with increased infection rates across the board. Also has been shown to be correlated with cancer, has been shown to be correlated with dementia, also cardiovascular disease. So vitamin D is critically important to your immune system. Vitamin D, you can't just stop there. You have to know what kind of vitamin D. And vitamin D3 is been shown to be the most natural occurring, but also the most absorbable form of vitamin D. And when I say natural occurring, there's vitamin D2, but that's more of the synthetic pharmaceutical version of vitamin D. And that's what you would get like over the counter. The drug companies have realized the effects and benefits of vitamin D, and they've tried to monetize it. But vitamin D3 is critically important. Having a probiotic along with a vitamin D helps with the absorption within the gut and helps with the vitamin D to actually be able to work in the body, ultimately to be, increase what's called the bioavailability. So vitamin D3 with a probiotic is important.
How much would you recommend as a general dosage?
Yeah, so in general, so just normal day-to-day, we're deficient 5,000 units for the 150-pound person. 5,000 units, so I use, it's been shown to be beneficial and raise those levels. Obviously, I believe in testing those levels and just not guessing. But in general advice, 5,000 units. We'll talk about if you need to superdose and the cases that you might need to superdose. And we'll talk about that. But let's start with the general advice. Vitamin D3, 5,000 units for that 150-pound person.
Okay. And you're saying that's daily as preventative.
That's
measures.
Daily. Okay. Yeah. And vitamin D along with vitamin C. Vitamin C is another one. Daily preventative. Now, listen, if you're listening right now, have a notebook out, write this down, because what I find is people get in a pickle when they get infected or they get exposed. And then all of a sudden they're like, what did he say? They try to go back and listen, or they, I get a lot of messages or a lot of phone calls about, hey, what did you say on that episode? And listen, write this stuff down, because A, it's very difficult to find this information now. It's very difficult. A lot of these things are being censored, that the Google algorithms are pushing it down. You don't see what we used to see. We used to, if you typed in supplements to prevent infection, you would see some of the best articles at the very top. But now what you see is more of the controlled science. And by controlled science, it's what you're not seeing from more of the natural health world. It's more of the controlled science that whoever the powers that be wants you to see.
Right. If you were to Google how to prevent COVID-19, it's going to tell you 6 feet distance, wear your masks, exactly. All of that. That's a discussion for another day, but vitamin C.
Yeah, vitamin C. So vitamin C is an antioxidant. Vitamin C has been shown to help improve the production and effectiveness of white blood cells. We've known that for a long time. That's why, grandma used to say, drink your vitamin C when you get, when you get sick. Remember, she'd put it in a little, in a little glass and stir it up. It has been shown to help prevent infection, help with white blood cells. It's very promising in the results of the reduction in duration of illness. But what most people don't realize is that it's actually been shown to help fight infection actively. And it's an antioxidant as well. And vitamin C, you don't just get it from oranges. Most people think just eat a lot of oranges. That's you're not going to get nearly the amount that you would need to actually, if you look at the research, the data, the amount of vitamin C that they're studying to actually help with the infection and to stimulate the white blood cells, it's not coming from a single orange, right? They're supplementing. It is more of that higher dosing. with vitamin C, quercetin has been shown to be very effective, again, with infection and also with replication. And so with the vitamin C, that's the reason why I like the vitamin C with quercetin in it, because it can work synergistically together. And I'll give a resource, the link or where you can find this information, to make it very easy, because again, you get online and you just start typing this information in, and you're going to have to do a lot of digging. So I'll help and give some guidance here, but vitamin C with quercetin is highly beneficial.
Okay.
Which kind of brings me to the next one, which is zinc. And since your body can't produce it and it can't store it, it's essential that you get enough zinc on a regular basis, either through food or supplementation. And the problem is that getting enough zinc is pretty hard. Number one, our food system, our soil is depleted. We've not regenerated our land, so we are mineral deficient. And zinc is traditionally found in seeds, grass-fed meats, beans.
Okay, things people are not eating a lot of.
100%. Yeah. Secondly, phytates. So phytates are present in foods like grains and cereals and legumes. Phytates bind zinc and inhibit absorption. So think about what we eat commonly as North Americans.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're binding zinc and inhibiting its absorption. And third, zinc can be tough to absorb without the presence of other nutrients. If you have digestive issues, gastrointestinal issues, if you're a vegetarian, you're pregnant, you're lactating, you're at an even greater risk of low zinc levels. And so for the body to utilize zinc most effectively, a variety of other nutrients are required, like B vitamins, malic acid, molybdenum, taurine. And that's where a high quality zinc supplement comes in. And so when you're looking for a zinc supplement, I'll go through kind of what to look for and again, give you resources on this, but a chelated version is going to be more bioavailable. You want to make sure that it has those other nutrients that I talked about, like taurine and B vitamins and molybdenum. And that's going to help with the absorption and that's actually get into the cells, so the bioavailability.
So far we've covered vitamin D3, vitamin C, we talked about zinc. Something that I've gotten a lot of questions about, especially from moms giving their kids elderberry syrup.
Yes.
And unfortunately, a lot of those things that you can buy from the grocery store have sugar in them too.
Yes.
So a lot of people are asking me questions, how can they get herbs? How can they get elderberry in a form that is usable by their body?
Yes. I with you, don't like the syrups because of that reason. Mm-hmm. And if we're trying to, quote, boost the immune system, sugar is the last thing we want
in a
supplement. So there's a supplement called IM Support, because as you already noted, elderberry is highly beneficial to the immune system. So is echinacea. And this supplement called IM Support is in a capsule form, and it provides a comprehensive blend of immune supporting nutrients, including echinacea, elderberry, medicinal mushrooms. They all work together for enhanced protection. And it also has a word that I have difficulty saying, but I'm going to try to say anyway, arabinogalactin, which helps to support healthy balance of gut bacteria. And I just know that the gut bacteria is so critically important, and herbs play a big role in that. And we don't get enough of them as North Americans. So I am support. Again, I can provide some resources and some direction on this, but one of the main questions that you and I continue to get is, and I'm getting text messages constantly. Hey, I have a friend who's been infected and struggling, or, hey, this person's very sick right now. What do I do?
Yeah.
And I give them, advice and try to help the best that I can from a distance. But I'm always thinking, man, I wish that this person would have been better prepared. I wish that, because now they have to either find somebody to go out and get these things that I'm talking about. They usually end up with a subpar product because they had to go to the grocery store or the local pharmacy or something. And they end up with something that I would not have recommended that they take as far as the quality of the product. And also, now they're like 3 days into it and they're scrambling. It's very reactive instead of proactive. And so, again, this is why I think that, the listener right now needs to be writing this stuff down and taking notes and be intentional to be more proactive.
And it's not even just about COVID-19. Like these are practices that you can use to enhance your immunity every single day. It's really something you can work into your lifestyle.
Yeah. And what I just talked about is the basics. Like you just, you do this on a daily basis. And now we're going to get into, okay, now what do you do for enhanced support, right? So those critical times that I'm talking about. So you become infected with anything. What you have to know is that when you become infected with anything, you impair vitamin A production. And vitamin A deficiency impairs innate immunity.
So the infection impairs vitamin A, and in vitamin A deficiency decreases immunity further.
You got it. And when you have vitamin A deficiency, the mucosal barriers that were damaged by infection, they can't regenerate. You need vitamin A. And vitamin A deficiency also diminishes the function of neutrophils and macrophages and natural killer cells. And so vitamin A is critically important for the adaptive immune system, plays a big role in even T helper cells and B cells.
Which those are the ones that go to bat for you. Those are the ones that kill off the bad things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so vitamin A, and when I see people who are supplementing and the protocols that I've seen recommended, oftentimes it's missing vitamin A. And so vitamin A, this is one that if I'm, you know, if I'm struggling with, I'm going to superdose with vitamin A, like 25,000 IUs of vitamin A. And that depends on your body weight and depends on, you know, I've already given the disclaimer. So the point is that if you're taking like the vitamin A that that has, you know, let's say it has 5,000 units, you do like five servings of that. So it would seem like a lot, but if that's going to help with the vitamin A when it's deficient, when it's actively being targeted with an infection, well, then it's going to help with recovery. It's going to help a lot faster, and then you're only supporting the body what it's actually trying to do, which is actually trying to produce that.
Yeah.
So remember, vitamin A, D, E, and K are fat soluble. So these are the vitamin, you know, these are the vitamins that you don't want to do high dosing for long times. Mm-hmm. You want to back that down again, but for a short period of time. Even you know, medical doctors and pharmacists, they will recommend super dosing with certain vitamins for short periods of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're talking about is you're already coming from a place of deficiency. Like 5,000 units is recommended when you have relatively normal levels of vitamin A, but it makes sense that if you are deficient and you're struggling, you're infected, then you would need extra.
That's right.
I think that's extremely logical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing that is not getting any coverage, I would say, when it comes to the even COVID-19 is glutathione. Okay, so
explain to us what glutathione is.
Okay, so glutathione is your body's natural antioxidant. It's the biggest or the most abundant antioxidant within the body. I want to read you something. And again, I bet most of our listeners have not heard this study. Endogenous deficiency of glutathione as the most likely cause of serious manifestations and death in COVID-19 patients. Okay. And that was from ACS Infectious Disease 2020 of July. How about this one? The role of glutathione in protecting against the severe inflammatory response triggered by COVID-19. And in the conclusion, within the study, drawing on evidence from literature that demonstrates that the reduced levels of glutathione is the main conditions clinically associated with severe disease.
And these are peer-reviewed studies. These aren't just articles that, you know, we posted on Facebook and you can click. And
that's right. But when we do post this, just so you know, and we do go through this type of material online, this is the type of material that does not gain any traction. The algorithms are set up to where you're not seeing these types of articles.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, you know, knowing how important glutathione is, you know, what do I do to quote, boost my glutathione levels? Well, the research also is very clear. By taking glutathione, again, I have another research article. I can post this in any links that we provide here on the podcast. And if you're listening on the radio, then and you can get this on my website at dr-wilson.com. But the study showed the effects of oral glutathione precursors on glutathione levels. And what they found is that just by taking glutathione, your body is burning that up. Mm-hmm. And it found that the enzymatic activity within the small intestine, that your body is not absorbing glutathione. It's when you take it orally. And so the question that these researchers were looking for is, okay, how do we boost intracellular glutathione? So glutathione within the body. And what they found is that there's amino acids that are precursors to glutathione, that when you take these precursors to glutathione, that it boosts your intracellular glutathione. And why is this so important? Mm-hmm. Well, glutathione is your body's number one antioxidant. And what does that mean? It's the number one thing that will help reduce free radicals within the body. And it's the number one thing that will help with your body's innate ability to fight infections and foreign invaders. Mm-hmm. This is so critically important to not just COVID-19. We've known that glutathione levels are essential with your body's ability to detox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do you quote unquote boost it? Well, there's one supplement that I appreciate, that I like, called NAC. And you might've heard NAC because the FDA attempted to pull NAC off of the shelves, because they're seeing this in being used in clinical practice to treat critically ill septic patients, and more recently COVID-19 patients. NAC is an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, immune boosting or immune modulating amino acid, or precursor to the amino acid. And NAC, it's interesting that they're trying to pull this off of the shelves as a supplement, because they want to own the market on this one.
So it's being pulled because it's so successful.
Exactly. And if you understand the FDA, then you understand that this is not the first time in history they've tried to do something like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So NAC, I mean, get it while you can, because I think that they will be successful in doing this. Now, this is not a drug though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not a drug, and it's naturally occurring. And I don't see the justifiable reason. If I'm trying to assume the best of the FDA, I can't find the reason why they would want to pull this from the shelves, except for they want control over it within the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah. Well, if it's not a drug, it's not making anyone money, right?
It's making the wrong people money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pro-NAC, again, this is one that I can't stress enough. This is one that you want to load up on and get... again, get it while you can, because I do believe that this is going to be something that is not going to be commercially available, much like you've seen with some of the other supplements or even some of the drugs that have, mm-hmm. you know, gained control by industry.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that people ask questions about is things that they can add to food that are anti-inflammatory. Things like turmeric. And we've also talked a lot about curcumin. That's mm-hmm. that's a supplement. Mm-hmm. Talk about curcumin a little bit and how that helps.
Okay, so when you actually have an infection of any kind, mm-hmm. you have an inflammatory response. And when it comes to viruses, there's this viral replication that begins to happen. And curcumin's been shown to help modulate that NLRP inflammatory response.
Okay.
And so when you become infected, there's this inflammatory response that is natural and is good initially. But if that continues to spiral out of control with the inflammation, then that can become very problematic. Curcumin can only help. It's an adaptogenic herb, so it can only help modulate positive inflammation and reduce negative inflammation. Again, it's supposed to be what we get that from our diet and mm-hmm. on a regular basis, that we are eating things that are naturally anti-inflammatory to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so just supplementing with it can be very helpful, but especially if you know that you've been exposed or you've been infected, that curcumin can be very helpful. Which really brings me to something here, is that if you know you've been infected, or you know you've been exposed, you're infected, You do want to increase the dosing on some of the other nutrients that I talked about. As an example, vitamin D. I can't give specific recommendations broadly for, you know, everyone, because everyone's different in body weight and exposure. And
this isn't one size fits all advice.
Gut bacteria, but vitamin D, as an example, you're taking 5,000 IUs of vitamin D. If you know you've been exposed, or you know that you need to recover, you might consider tripling, even quadrupling, even five times that amount for a given time. But again, it's going to be short duration, short timing that you would superdose. Again, you've got to work with somebody who can help you with this and give you direct advice on this. Mm-hmm. But in general advice here, vitamin C is another one that you'd want to ramp up on. Vitamin C going up to twice the normal amount that you would typically take, if not triple the amount that you would currently take or that you would typically take. Now, with vitamin C, I want to give a caveat. When you start really ramping up and superdosing on vitamin C, you might get loose or runny stools. Mm. Okay, so that's what they call bowel tolerance. Once you get to bowel tolerance, you can back that off. Okay, mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about when, hey, this is something that can save your life. This is something that can really help you. Having loose, runny stools as a side effect is really, I'd say, insignificant compared to the bigger picture on that. Mm-hmm. Pro-NAC is, you know, we talked about that NAC and how important it is. I would also consider doubling, if not going five times pro-NAC, depending on whether you've just been exposed or you're actively trying to recover.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's important to note that all of these things are supportive of the body, and they work because they work with the body's already natural ability to heal. Mm-hmm. Like, we cannot finish an episode without talking about how incredible the body is and how it was designed to heal. And if we're taking supplements as precautionary measures or as helping us to recover, that's great. But we also can't be taking supplements and superdosing out of fear, right, and exactly, without trusting that our body will know how to utilize that supplement well.
Yeah. And it's important to bring it back to this, because this is, I think, the most important thing. And you're hitting on it, is I feel like there's an invitation right now. What I'm feeling, I guess, in my spirit is that there is an invitation to step out of this, I guess, fear-based, making decisions based off of fear, okay?
Yeah.
And step into faith and instincts and understanding and real science and real, and literally real understanding of the body, of how it works, and appreciation for the body. And I believe that it's going to work out better for these people when we collectively step out of that model of making decisions based off of, okay, there's this new mandate, right? Mm-hmm. Or decisions based off of, there's this new variant, right? And then there's this new pharmaceutical product that's constantly being marketed to me, or there's something new that was said on the news, and it's very reactive.
Yeah.
And I feel like that that's not helped us in the last however many months that we've been here.
Right.
Okay. But there will come a day when there is a group of people, and I think it's going to be a large group of people, who have over the years made the decision to step out of that model. Mm-hmm. And they've made the decision to eat food by God and not food by man. They've made the decision to cut off the news and stop listening to every new headline that comes out. And they've listened to their instincts. They listen to God. They've been intentional with filling up their cup instead of pouring out of an empty cup. These are people who appreciate their soil being regenerated, and they're not trying to spray their crops in the name of agriculture, but they're considering not doing any of that in the name of humanity. And there's going to come a day when there's this group of people that live this way constantly, and they're putting in good quality nutrients. Their livestock will even be different. And there's going to come a day when those people are so distinct, so separate, and so set apart that I think the rest of the world who live this other model that you see, that they're going to look and they're going to see this group of people who are so uniquely different and so distinct that it's going to be magnetic. that it's going to be obvious, and the world won't be able to deny that this way of living is the right way of living, and that this way of living is what actually produces health long term. And it's going to be so obvious. I believe that's why there's a concerted attack on people right now to try to poison them, to muddy the waters, so it won't be so separate and so distinct that, you know, that there's a concerted effort to get them, whatever, the next drug or the next, call it vaccine, or the next variant or whatever, the next vaccine for the variant, I should say. I believe that's to muddy the water or even poison the bloodline. This is now my opinion.
I want to
separate my opinion from fact, but my opinion is that's why there's such a concerted attack on the people, is to make it less obvious to those who choose a different route. I mean, bottom line, I know this topic is controversial.
Yeah.
My concern is that there are good people who are trying to do the right thing for themselves, for their families. My concern is they're being deceived, and they're going to be hurt by this. And it's not just hurting themselves. I believe what we're talking about is something that has the potential to have an impact generationally. And if you believe in, call it spiritual warfare, or if you believe in there's good and evil in the world, however you'd like to say this, I believe there's an intention to poison the bloodline of the good. I believe that there is forces of wickedness and darkness that would love nothing less than to take out the people who are trying to do good. And my concern is that people who are trying to do the right thing are falling victim to misinformation or propaganda or whatever you might call it. And I don't want that to be something that causes a divide. I would like us to have the conversation. I think it'd be better to have open dialogue about this. And that's why I'm concerned about the censorship.
Yeah. Yeah. It is always important when making decisions, not just about your own health, but about the health of your family. And like you said, generational impact, to have all of the information that you need in order to do that. I mean, that is our basic right as Americans, is to have information about our health. So the censorship is definitely concerning, but this is an opportunity for us to kind of double down, do our research, find that information, have these important conversations. And it's not necessarily a debate or one side against the other, but it's us coming together collectively to help each other live and find true health.